Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the ordinary meeting of council, the Shire of Plantagenet, for Tuesday the 28th of October, and we're commencing at 5 p.m. This meeting is being audio recorded in accordance with Regulation 14L of the Local Government Regulations 1996. I also point you to the disclaimer and emergency procedures on the leading pages of this agenda document for this building. The Shire of Plantagenet acknowledges the traditional custodians of our area and their continuing connection to the land and community. We pay our respects to all members of the Menang Noongar community and their culture, and to elders past, present and emerging. This meeting will be run in accordance with the standing orders policy. We move on to item two, record of attendance. We have eight members present, seven in the room and one online. We have apologies from Councillor Brown. We have four members of the public present, and we have seven staff in attendance. Moving on to item 3.1, there's no previous response required for public questions taken on notice, and that brings us to item 3.2 on page 4. The public question time. So we're open to take questions from members of the public at this point in the meeting. So is any members of the public have a question for this meeting? Okay, if you'd like to come forward to the lectern here and to state your name and address, and and then you have 5 minutes.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Gloria Checkley and I live at Unit 13, 28 Marion Street in Mount Barker. I thought there would be a crowd here, this has just taken me back a little bit, but I'll ask my questions if I may. The reason that I'm up here for is, personally, I have always lived in Kendanup. My husband was a returned soldier, and we went to Kendanup for peace and quiet after his horrors in Vietnam. He passed away, and so I've come to Mount Barker, which is our second little town. Now it is lovely, and I and my sister love living here. It's taken me a while, and I've only lived here for a couple of years, but the little walks have always taken me up the top of Marion Street to the little small ecosystem that has always been there for as long as I can remember it. I've been away on holidays, and when I was in the shops to get some groceries, I could hear people talking about what has happened on the bush block. I went up there and saw the devastation that had happened. And my question is, why has this happened at this particular time? This is the breeding season, and everyone around here loves the birds, loves the wildlife. It was done on a weekend, which no one from the council was here. I was away, so I couldn't throw myself in front of anything. And it was gone. Every little living creature was gone in a weekend, and I would like to know how this happened. In Kendanup, if we needed anything, we would speak to the Shire and the council, get permission for anything we needed to do, and always it was wonderful. No one seemed to know what happened. It didn't give any of the conservationists time to rescue little goannas or anything. It just came in and destroyed everything. And I would like to know if it was given with the council permission and why, or if it was done not with that, and what will happen so this won't reoccur. I'm not stupid. We know, and I know, that Mount Barker must grow to expand. But to me, this wasn't the right thing to do and has broken my heart for the destruction of so many living creatures that gave beauty to everybody who lived there. So my question is, why was it allowed to happen, and if it was okay to happen? If you could please let me know. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gloria. We'll take that question on notice. I believe
you
have
a
copy of it there. If you could pass your notes. Yeah, okay, thank you. Yeah. Yeah.
Do I do that? Okay. Thank you so much. I've got it like it's cold there. Thank you so much.
Okay, so there's a further question. Again, if you can come and state your name and address, and you also have 5 minutes of our time.
Okay, hello, my name's Carol Mannix, and I live at Unit 1021 Montem Street in Mount Barker. And basically my questions are the same thing. I also walk with my sister up there towards that parcel of land that was so unique. And so my question really is, was there approval given for that? Considering, you know, it was just butchered. And if not, what procedures are in place to prevent it happening again? Because I know that there's been times we've wanted to remove trees at different places and we've had to present it to council and they've either said yes or no. Down to even little things, you know, things like having a storage container on your block and everything. I can't see how that could have been done without somebody's approval or without huge repercussions for it. Because what's to stop people from just coming in and wiping everything out, whether they have permission or not? That's my question. Sorry, it was short, and I haven't really slept well since I first saw it. I just couldn't believe it. It's just devastation. That's the only word you can use for it. And again, I know it's private land. They have every right to be able to get it ready for development. But why right in the middle of breeding season? When the same thing happened in Mandurah, the public was given like a month and a half for conservationists, and they went and relocated everything that they could find in the area before it was wiped out. This was just done in a weekend when nobody was around to be able to say stop. And like my sister, I would have thrown myself in front of the bulldozer if I'd been home, but I was in Perth at the time. So, I leave that in your hands and would really sincerely like an answer to both of those questions, if that's okay.
Thank you very much, Carol. We'll take that on notice and supply the answers appropriately. Thank you.
It's doing me slightly different than Florence, but a different read.
Is there any further questions? Thank you. So you've heard it twice already, so you know what to do now.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Anthony Pote, or Tony. A lot of you already know me. I own the property next door to the proposed property the feedlot's going to be on. I also own the ACAP store. My question is the proposed feedlot is approved. It's already stated in the letter online that the Ag Department says that it could carry 4,000 cattle, even though the application at the moment is for 499 cattle. My question is, does that mean potentially in the future they will be given approval to have 4,000 cattle in that spot because the feedlot's been made to carry it? That's my question.
Thanks, Tony. Again, we'll take that one on notice. Thank you. Any further questions? Righto. Thank you very much. So we move on to item 4, petitions, deputations and presentations. Are there any of those today from the public? Okay, thank you. So again, if you just state your name for the recording and you've got 5 minutes.
Anthony Poet again. Good day again. I've written something reasonably short. I'd very like to
very much like to see more development in the Narracup region to increase people living and finding work in the region. A cattle feedlot would also be a significant benefit to all cattle farmers in the region. However, I have legitimate concerns to the damage and development this proposed feedlot will inflict on my property and the community, let alone it not meeting the Plantagenet Shire's own rules distance needed between the feedlot and town location. As the previous and still owner of the Narracup store and now local builder, I know how much Plantagenet expects everyone else to follow the guidelines. The feedlot owner already has a history of not abiding by the rules of the Shire and has been reluctant to slow and stop the runoff coming onto my property and causing harm to my livestock and plans to one day soon live on the property. The current proposal has been rejected by DWER that the proposal is inadequate to cater for the risks of runoff escaping into the areas that would cause great damage to the waterways and ecosystem. But they also correctly point out it is possible to increase a feedlot to hold 4,000 cattle and that the current proposal is grossly inadequate for the storm damage effluent movement, and catching all the water coming off the feedlot for only 499 cattle. I therefore request that this current proposal not be permitted. Much more effort and subsequent monitoring and enforcement is needed to protect the environment for 499 cattle, let alone the likelihood that the owner will take advantage and increase your holdings towards 4,000 cattle. We would all like to see a very well-run feedlot in our region that does not cause pollution and destruction to neighbouring properties, but this proposal does not satisfy those requirements. Thank you for hearing my concerns.
Thanks, Tony. Your concerns are duly noted and appreciate it, so thank you. Is there any other presentations for today? Okay. We'll move on to disclosures of interest. I have three in front of me. One from Murray O'Day for item 9.3.2, and she'll be staying and voting for that item. Again, from Councillor O'Day, item 9.3.1, to do with the applications in the Art and Move area. She'll be leaving the meeting for that one. And Councillor Tyra, item 9.3.1, swim club related, and she'll be staying and voting for that one. So any further disclosures? Okay. We'll move on to item 6, applications for leave of absence. Is there any applications? Councillor Clements?
Both Councillor Bell and I were given approval for leave at the special meeting, but I noticed it hasn't been noted here. Mine was for the 29th of October to the 10th of November, and I don't know, Councillor Bell was roughly the same time, I think.
Yep, so they'll be noted in the next meeting.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you. Okay, brings us to item 7, the minutes. The recommendations on page 5. Is there a mover? Councillor Bell. Seconder, Councillor Sheard. Is there any dissent? Okay, that motion's carried without dissent. Thank you. Brings us to item 8. There's no comments from me today. So the next item for consideration is item 9.1.1, the item to do with the Narracup feedlot, with a recommendation on page 12 to 14. Is there a mover? Okay, Councillor Liebeck and Councillor Bell seconder. Councillor Liebeck, believe you want to speak.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd just like to add a further dot point, if we can. Dot point number 9, to say indicates to the applicant that the resubmission with a vastly improved application package is encouraged, and consideration of a temporary approval of no greater than 5 years may be considered for future application should it be deemed sufficient.
So you've moved this item with an addition?
Yes, Mr. President.
Thank you. Councillor Bell, are you happy with that addition?
Indicates to the applicant that resubmission with a vastly improved application package is encouraged, and consideration of a temporary approval of no greater than 5 years may be considered for the future application should it be deemed sufficient.
Okay, thank you. So with that addition and all of the information that is around it on pages 12 to 14, is there any dissent? Okay, well, it's passed without dissent. Thank you. Item 9.2, there's no infrastructure and assets reports for this meeting. We move into item 9.3.1, the community grants on page 22. The officer's recommendation is there. Is there a mover?
Mr. President, can I move that we suspend standing orders so we can have further discussion on this item?
Okay, is there a seconder? Councillor Liebeck. Councillor Bell moves, Councillor Liebeck seconds. All those in favour? Okay, so standing orders are suspended. Okay, so we can discuss these. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Councillor O'Day. Councillor Bell.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. President. I think all the applications are worthy of money, obviously, but I just have a bit of doubt about not supporting the swim club. I see their numbers, they're talking about 55 people involved in that. The football club are talking about 50 people. So on par, they sort of match up. Maybe some consideration should be given. We should consider giving some financial support to the Mount Barker Amateur Swim Club on this occasion. They've got a costly trip up north, and the other issue I have is with the application of the football club is I'm not that fussed on giving money out for fuel vouchers, which is part of their application. But anyway, they are my thoughts, and I'd like to hear the thoughts of other councillors. Thank you.
Okay, we're in open forum. Councillor Clements.
It's strange, I was going to mention the same thing about the swimming club, having been involved in this in my younger days. It's very expensive when you start sending your children from one end of the country to the other. And we have in the past financed different groups from around the area, different clubs. I do believe we should be putting a few thousand dollars towards this, as it will be advertising our swimming club down here and hopefully our new swimming pool, which hopefully will be 8 lanes, and encourage people to come down to here when there's major swimming events on.
Thank you. Councillor Tyra.
Thank you. I also had a few concerns about the Prongrup Community Association funding of a band coming down. For me, with these community grants, it's such an opportunity to do regional development. And the way I look at regional development is like throwing a stone into some water and seeing the ripples form. And the ripples are skills left behind, building blocks, things like that, that really create development in the region. From my time at Country Arts WA, when we re-looked at how we funded things like bands coming to an area, because essentially you're funding them, they come, everyone has a wonderful time, they pack up and go home, and not necessarily any regional development is done in the area. I also have already declared an interest in conflict of interest with the swim club, but if you look at the last 7 years, other than Mark and Zach. All the employees have currently come from the Mount Barker Swim Club, and the same can be said for the back swimming, and that's because the regional development is done at a club level, that therefore these kids don't have such a stretch to get the extra credentials that they need to hold those positions. Currently at the moment, I believe Mark is even waiting for some of those kids to finish their university, where at the moment he can't currently get staff for that facility. So this is where regional development and what you fund sometimes is also, I think, very important with these sorts of community grants. Thanks.
Councillor Bell.
Yeah, through the chair to the CEO. Is there, what sort of funds are available over and above what's been listed here? Is there anything left in the bucket that we could throw at the swim club, or a reassessment of funds already listed here? Your views, please.
Yeah, there is. This isn't the full bucket of money. There will be another round in the new year, in the new calendar year. And with respect to the activities, I think we need to be clear on what the guidelines are, and these applications have been assessed on the guidelines that Council has adopted. So, you know, the activities themselves, if they meet the guidelines that Council itself has adopted, then we've recommended them for a contribution from the Council. I suppose the reasoning for the swimming club was that it was very specific, as put in the recommendation, high performance athletes. Now, that doesn't prevent Council from contributing. As you've asked the question, can we afford to do it? Yes, we can. It's Council's prerogative, but our recommendation is that we're focusing on broader activities that benefit a wider range of people. It doesn't mean that it excludes that. It's just the recommendation from the staff.
Councillor Fraser.
Thank you, Councillor Hansine. I think that's a good point, because I think the issue with sponsoring country pennants, and my kids have all wanted country pennants from Albany up to Exmouth, I suppose if it's approved, then every other country representatives, country cricket, country netball, all of them can have a bite of the cherry, and then our funds will be going very quickly. My view for that would be a better way would be looking at, say, some annual swimming pool passes to auction off or raffle off another way, rather than direct funding for a particular event to go to country pennants. There's other ways, I think, because I think that would be the concern. We have so much community sport in our community, and they all go and represent Plantagenet and Mount Barker at country pennants and country competitions. If we say yes to this particular point, then I think we've got to open the doors for every other sporting club to be asking for a similar amount to support their country involvement in the competitions in Perth or wherever across the state.
Okay, thank you. Is there any further comment? Mr. Middleton.
Thanks, Mr. President. I must apologise, there's a typo in the table and the recommendation. The Porongrup Community Association for the Music Festival have requested $10,000. My apologies there.
Okay, duly noted. So that, under item two, that figure is now 10,000 rather than five. Okay. Thank you. Any other comments? So now we need to reinstate standing orders. Someone like to move we reinstate standing orders? Okay. So Councillor Sheard and Councillor Liebeck seconder. All those in favour? Yep, thank you. So that's unanimous. 7-0. So now we need to deal with this recommendation. Is there an amendment? Is there, apart from the 10 that was a typo, is there the way to move forward is to either accept this recommendation as it stands, or we reject it, or we amend it? Which is it going to be?
Councillor
Oh, Councillor Fraser, sorry.
I think we should move it as the officer recommendation and vote on it, knowing that those clubs can be given more guidance or information to reapply again, because the applications are open ongoing now with the new process and procedures that we have.
So it's been moved and seconded. So are we happy to proceed to a vote? Yep, okay, all those in favour? We have 4, and those against? 3. Okay, the motion is carried. 4-3 in favour. Thank you. Now, if you could bring Councillor O'Day back, please. Brings us to item 9.3.2, the sublease of the railway building. Item on page 25. Is there a mover? Councillor Clements, and seconder. Councillor Bell. Is there any dissent? Okay, so that item's passed without dissent. Thank you. Move to item 9.3.2, the list of accounts. So the recommendation is on page 28. Is there a mover? Councillor O'Day, Councillor Liebeck. Okay, so we'll take your question, Councillor Bell.
Yeah, I just noticed this morning a payment that had been made on page 2, EFT 8543, Grease, 50 bales of hay, $3,575. And then on page 4, EFT 8624, 50 bales at $7,850. I don't need an answer today, but I just take a question on notice as to why 50 bales cost twice as much as the previous 50. I wish I had 50 bales of hay at that price. Anyway, I'll leave that with you. Thank you. Other than that, I have no further questions.
Thank you. We have a mover and a seconder. Is there any dissent? Okay, that item's passed without dissent. Thank you. Item 9.3.3, the financial statements on page 31, recommendation there. Do we have a mover? Councillor Clements, seconder. Councillor Sheard. Is there any comments or questions on this one? Okay, is there any dissent? So that item's passed without dissent. Thank you. Move to item 9.4.1, the Councillor Professional Development Policy, new policy, on page 34. Is there a mover? Councillor Liebeck, seconder. Councillor Fraser. I'll take some comments on this one if it's required. No? Okay, is there any dissent? Okay, that item's carried without dissent. Thank you. Move to item 9.4.2, the council meeting schedule for the coming 12 months. The recommendations on page 36 and 37. Is there a mover? Councillor Sheard, Councillor Clements. I'll take your question.
Yeah, through the chair. Have these dates towards the end of the year been factored around local government week? Last year we had to change a meeting. I just wonder whether we know when local government convention is coming in the next year and if it clashes again.
I think it's safe to say at this stage we don't know when that's going to be. So typically they're announced a couple of months out, maybe a bit more, but we won't know this far out, I don't believe. Have a second question?
Yeah, the last three dates, I think, are Wednesdays, not Tuesdays. Is that what you're talking about? They've been changed? And I alerted Nicole and I thought she was going to fix them. Nolene.
Okay. All right.
But so my current agenda has, I think, the old dates. I'm not sure.
Okay, so that's a good pickup. I never saw that one. So if we assume the dates will be on the Tuesday, the last Tuesday of the month, apart from the December meeting?
Yeah. December the 15th.
So December the 15th.
Tuesday.
24th is a Tuesday. Okay. Is it Tuesday?
Yeah.
So okay. All right. Okay. So we're all clear.
Yeah.
Okay. It's important to get those dates right, because it's a fuss to change them. Okay. Councillor Clements.
Yes.
So it's not too hard to get around, so I think probably just leave them as they are would be my thinking on it. Any dissent then on this item? Okay, it's carried without dissent, thank you. All right, so we've come to item 10, which is nil to discuss today. Item 11, there's no urgent business. That brings us to item 12, which is a confidential item, and Councillor Clements, you'd like to move to close the doors. Councillor O'Day, seconder. All those in favour of closing the doors? That's unanimous, thank you. So this one requires all staff apart from the CEO and the public to leave the room. Thank you for your attendance. Welcome to come back when we're done. Do we have a mover to come out behind closed doors? Councillor O'Day, Councillor Sheard, all those in favour? That's carried unanimously, thank you. So we're out behind closed doors now. So the decision is that the recommendation was passed without alteration. And I move to item number 13, the closure of the meeting. And I'll close the meeting at time 5:45 p.m.